What happens when we face difficult conversations? These conversations can heal. They can foster forgiveness. They can inspire and change perspective. Lean into these stories and discussions. I think both our guests and our listeners will find value in them. And selfishly, I know I will too. Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Lean In with Dr. Jabron Pasha. I'm Jabron Pasha, and I'm here with an old friend. We go way back, Coach Mike Ensign. He's the head coach of Tulsa's professional soccer team, FC Tulsa. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Before we get into it, Mike, I know you're busy in the middle of a season. Thanks for taking some time to chat with us on Lean In today.
Dr. Pasha, it's always good to see you, uplifting brother. So, of course, man, anytime I can get a chance to talk to someone like yourself, it's always my pleasure.
I appreciate it, man. So I think some context is appropriate. Like I said, we go way back. My brother and you were friends before I got to know you. And as I was a lowly freshman coming into Booker T. High School, you were a senior, right? You were pretty famous, especially around the soccer world in Tulsa. And so it was nice to have someone at my school that I know, hey, I didn't really have to worry about too much because nobody was going to mess with me. Kind of kept an eye out for me. And, you know, I just watched how you carried yourself. I watched your success. And although I wasn't the athlete that you were, I still was able to take a lot of the successes that you had and were motivated by it. So you probably don't know all of that, but I thought you was the coolest dude in the world back then. So, you knew who I was, but, I surely looked up to you.
Definitely knew you were. Obviously, a lot of history with your brother, but, it was kind of one of those things. It's almost like you see when kids want to do well or they have some desire to succeed, you always want them to be taken care of. So you're one of those guys that one of our little proteges that were up and coming that, you know, that were not different because Booker T has a lot of quality people, but definitely one of those people that stuck out that we're going to achieve things and be successful. So it was my pleasure to hang around you, be around you and support you in that way.
Yeah, man, it was good looking out. So let's talk a little bit about your soccer career. And I think if it's okay with you, maybe you just tell it however you would want to tell the story about you and soccer.
Yeah, I would say first, what got me into the sport is my father. You know, my dad immigrated from Nigeria to the U.S. when he was, I think, 19 years old. And that being the top sport there and what he was passionate about, it was probably only a matter of time before he was going to introduce me to the game. Started playing five, six years old. My dad was my first coach. Really hard on me being my first coach, always wanted me to succeed, stand out, which, you know, when you get around 16 or so, it gets a little bit difficult. But I was glad, I was blessed to have some other coaches and mentors come my way once my dad stopped coaching me that kept that fire going to succeed. So it was always with me to try to get as much out of the sport as possible. I never really knew what would come of it, but I knew I wanted to succeed and be a professional and make the people that supported me proud. So I was thankful for an opportunity first to go to college. I mean, I hope, thinking back, that if the sport wasn't there for me, would I've still gotten that opportunity? I'm not sure. But the lessons in life that it's given me so far and the places I've been able to travel all over the world, I know I had some experiences some of my friends didn't have in early ages. But Post-college, University of Dayton, had an opportunity in Nigeria to be with the Olympic team, just in preparation for Greece, the Olympics. Didn't qualify, but just to go back to Nigeria, and I spent almost 9 months there straight. So that was a huge part of my life that, looking back, will always stick with me. There's a lot of moments being with my family there and being back to the motherland, or actually my fatherland, for that matter. But remarkable experience with that. After that finish, I had the opportunity to be in L.A. with Los Angeles Galaxy, which to me was a dream. Finally felt like success was really there once I signed an MLS contract. Didn't quite go my way. You know, of course, you have to, as a professional, you know, you get opportunities and it doesn't mean you're going to play right away and things like that. But was a bench player there, but the team won a championship. Then I went to Portland from there. And then, you know, started to decide about family and just started to get my wife, we're considering where will we raise kids when we get to that point. And, you know, decided that, you know, I try something a little bit closer to home. So once I finished playing, moved back to Tulsa, started a family, got right back into soccer via coaching this time. So that's where I'm at today.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like a lot of people who go into coaching, they know even while they're playing that, hey, one day I want to be a coach. Was that the situation for you, or was it, you know, hey, I want to stay in soccer, I love the game, and this is the best way for me to do that?
I would say, like, from a young age, I never dreamt about being a coach. You know, it was like play. And then, you know, it was just maybe just a natural progression as time started to wind down on my career. I can tell I had to start thinking about other things. Coaching was probably the most transition that I understood, that my dad ran a soccer club. I was always around soccer coaches. So I felt like it would be an easy transition in terms of just having the right doors open for me. It was just prevalent, you know. So I grew up in a soccer club. So it was just going to happen naturally. So that's the way that started.
Take us through your kind of your journey in the coaching. You know, now, like, as I mentioned, you're the head coach of FC Tulsa. Well, how did you get to that point?
Well, first it was started with my dad's club, Tulsa Thunder. In that club, one of my mentors, Tom Andafar, was there as one of the directors. And a lot of my friends that I grew up playing with were already back into coaching by that time. So I just started, you know, just to cut teeth in the game, you know, and just pick up teams and start working as many teams as possible. I was hungry to learn a lot, especially had guys that were already coaching quite a few years ahead of me. So I just wanted to catch up and learn as much as I could. So from there, I went and wanted to try some things on my own. I'm just one of those guys that, you know, my dad's former club, it's not something that I didn't want anything handed to me that maybe I didn't deserve. So I actually went to Claremore. They were looking for a director of coaching there. And I was like, a little bit out of Tulsa, you know, different scene. Can I go there and try to make an impact in a community that's not quite known for its soccer? But we actually did a great job turning it into a competitive program there. Spent a couple of years there, then decided, you know, it was time to come back. I've kind of learned a lot, made some mistakes for sure, grew a lot as a coach, and then came back to Tulsa, worked at various clubs, the last club, Tulsa Soccer Club. And then, you know, it got to that point that, you know, mid-30s, I've started to get into the coaching licensing part, you know, just to make sure I'm just one of those guys that are curious about what don't I know in the game. So start to get into that part, doing all my coaching licenses and things like that. Start to kind of progress more and more, coaching more elite level teams. But, you know, I start to wonder, when is my break going to come? You know, I didn't want to coach youth forever. I was kind of getting a little bit burned out on the youth side. Didn't really see where a break was going to come. Is anyone going to see me in Tulsa, you know? But fortunately, Tulsa got a professional club, and I was able to work first as a second assistant. You know, and not that I had probably the licenses and experiences to do maybe a little bit more, but it was, hey, putting cones down for the coach, you know, whatever you need me to do, a scouting report, make my own analysis of a match and just offer it, you know, just try to work hard and offer my services. But I think at least it didn't go unnoticed when the coach was let go. The former Tulsa Roughnecks, the management team, thought I would be a good fit to slide right in, and I got that first opportunity.
Yeah, I remember that well, actually. It was a mid-season change in coaching, and you know, to be honest, I had probably been to, you know, two or three Tulsa Roughneck games, right? But upon hearing that you were stepping in at that time as the interim coach, you know, I was like, where can I get my Roughnecks gear at, right? Yeah. And so that's actually when I started to appreciate the game and actually become a fan. Like, I'm still new. This is, you know, four years or so ago. But I think that leads us into, I think, maybe other questions about how do you feel that you, as a native Tulsan, you are the head coach for a team whose stadium is essentially in Greenwood, right? The home of Greenwood, Black Wall Street. And you grew up just down the street. Is that right?
Literally down the street. My mom's still there on Greenwood Latimer. So I always tell people that, you know, when the national anthem and things, you know, start before a game, I Like it means a lot to me, you know, just to be looking that direction toward Greenwood and know that those are my roots and my people, you know, and it means a lot to be able to go back. And it's almost, I won't say full circle, but it's like, it just means a lot. It's humbling to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think about kind of what we hear about in other leagues across the country where, you know, there's issues with diversity in coaching in the NFL, maybe to a certain degree in the NBA, not like it is in the NFL. Soccer, which a lot of people who aren't avid soccer fans may not know, is a very diverse sport in terms of the players, right? But there's not as much diversity in coaching. Do you feel pressure or pride or whatever? I don't want to put any words in your mouth about being a Black coach of a professional soccer team.
Yeah, there's a huge responsibility that I feel comes with it. And you mentioned something earlier, just being from Tulsa as well. And, you know, I wear that on my shoulders as well, being from Tulsa and representing Tulsa's team. That's important to me. But being a Black coach in America in the sport that's very diverse, like you mentioned, but maybe we're not as represented on the coaching side or we're not represented on the coaching side as much. It's a huge responsibility. You know, I get tons of emails, calls, things on social media that people support because of that, because they know that they're looking at me to help inspire or help cultivate some change and maybe open some doors for everyone else. So I know, you know, it's when you're a coach, those wins are the players win games and coaches lose them, like they say, you know. So sometimes I take those losses extra hard because I am trying to do something and kind of be at the forefront of changing a movement or a perception about African Americans as coaches.
Yeah. I want to take just an aside because I've been thinking about asking you this. I never got around to it. You mentioned how, you know, obviously you take losses hard. I noticed you on the sideline and you are just, you like even keel. You know, you seem like the coolest dude. I mean, I know you in real life. You are a low-key, calm kind of person. How do you manage those emotions? I'm running around the house. Like, you know, how do you manage those emotions on the sideline, the highs and the lows?
I guess I'm doing a good job of faking. A soccer game is so emotional. You know, there's like so much that happens in a game. You know, you work so hard to prepare your team for the week and things go well, you're excited, you know, you see moments and glimpses of what you worked on, and then things don't go well, and then the game just changes on its head, and something happens that you can never predict. I mean, the soccer game is so unpredictable. So there's a ton of emotions there. I always think it's important that coaches understand when to show those emotions. I think players feed off of that. You know, if you're emotional, it can be dramatic to players, you know, like if the coach is constantly showing their emotions to you or directing their emotions towards you, you know, players want to feel comfortable in what they do. So to me, sometimes I do let it out at those moments and the players need to know that I'm excited about things that they accomplish, or I have to give negative feedback. But during the sideline and games, I try to keep it cool so I can think and try to see strategy through in those moments.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I remember I ran into you at the airport. It was out of town somewhere and I hadn't seen you in a little while. And you were telling me, hey, I think you were coming back from overseas or you were going overseas working on some coaching license. I didn't know, you know, exactly what this coaching license was. I just knew it took years and lots of time and resources and efforts to achieve it. And last year, about this time last year, there was a lot of recognition locally, regionally, and within the league, I would imagine, because you got this USSF, United States Soccer Federation, license, which is actually pretty elite. I think to date, from what I read, there's only about 70 or so coaches who have achieved that license, and you're the only Black coach that has achieved that license. Can you, one, tell us a little bit about what goes into that? Why is it so sought after? Why is it such a big deal? And what does it mean for you now that you hold that recognition and that license?
Yeah, I am the first African-American to hold that license, the professional license. There's some others, I think, since that have gone through it, which makes me very proud. I think the time that I saw you, I was coming back or going to Ireland, which I did my European coaching license as well. So, which was an 8-year experience.
So that was a separate license.
Totally different. So I have my UEFA A license, which is just basically makes me eligible to coach in European top leagues. There's a professional. There's only one more license in Europe higher than that, which is the pro. And that license, I have the pro in the United States. So it's just one of those things. No one ever told me you should do this or that. You should do your licenses. I was just always curious about things about the game that maybe I didn't receive as a player, information that you see all these other coaches like Pep Guardiola or Jose Mourinho. What do they know that I don't know? You know, just being curious to try to figure those things out and stay up to date on the modern trends of the game. And honestly, something I think that's very important is being an African American. You have that pressure to check every box to be successful. You can't leave any stone unturned. You know, you don't want to give anyone a reason to say this is why you can't achieve this or this is why you aren't accepted. So I've always gone above and beyond to try to check every single box to say if something came my way, an opportunity, for example, came my way, that there's nothing there that they can say you can't be in this club, you know what I mean, because you don't have these certain credentials.
Yeah, you know, I think this is something that's not necessarily unique to the Black culture, but I think something that underrepresented minority cultures and communities have in common is, I would imagine your parents, maybe especially your mother, you know, would say certain things when you were a kid, right? You know, I can remember my mom telling my brother and I, you know, you're going to have to work twice as hard to get half as far, right?
I think that's in every Black mother's How to Raise a Child handbook. You have to work twice as hard, you know what I mean? And that definitely stuck with me. My parents are very hardworking people also, so the model behavior was there, but definitely had those conversations numerous times.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe the last thing I want to talk about is, you know, this big push. I'm seeing commercials. I see a lot about trying to, I don't know if it's the appropriate term, but urbanize the game of soccer. I think baseball, which is what I grew up playing, has tried to do the same thing, but has not had the success that they would have liked. I think it seems that maybe soccer is having a little bit more success there, but maybe not in our community. I don't know. What are your thoughts on what soccer as a sport needs to do to reach these inner city students, to get more Black kids involved and excited about the game?
That's a great point. I see when you think that soccer has improved or ahead of baseball, I think what you see in America is that African immigrants come, like my father, and they stay with the game and it's still part of their lives and they transition to the sport. But when you see like African American kids from like urban communities, the lack of diversity that's a difference, you know, there's a bit of difference there. You don't see them represented as much. And I think it's because of something we just spoke about already, is there's no role models that are there in their community that are kind of inspiring to them to do that. Soccer, USS Soccer, they've been saying it for, I can't remember, maybe 15 years ago, saying that they really wanted to go and, you know, embed soccer into these urban communities. I think what people fail to realize is there needs to be some model behavior. There has to be people that look like them also to help. So when you don't have Black coaches, it's tough to get Black players. It's easy, you know, different sports, basketball or football, they go and do a camp or something like that. And they know that person's from my neighborhood. I want to be like that person. That's a role model. You know, when you get people from the outside, you know, you can get the best coach. I mean, Greg Berhalter's the United States national team coach. If he went into North Tulsa, everyone would walk right by him. You know what I mean? He would not stand out, you know, and people would not really know or give significance to him as a coach. They wouldn't know that, you know, but an African-American coach coming to the community, you know, and someone that looks like them, someone that can share experiences with him. And of course, like me, some experiences that they didn't have. And you tie that together, and that's a really, really unique opportunity. That's why I really love telling that story to kids from the community I come from, because the game of soccer has given me a lot that maybe I wouldn't have had, or maybe some of my friends' opportunities that they didn't have, because it took me to open my eyes to different parts of the world and different experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for those insights. I think I would be remiss if I don't take a second to just talk about the team and talk about the season, because I know there are going to be some FC fans that are going to be listening to this podcast. So, you know, what's the outlook for the season? Tell us what you think about the team. And you all are off to a 2-1 start. You're coming off of two straight playoff appearances in the last two seasons. What do you think about this team you got?
First, I always like to give praise and thanks for the fans. I mean, like the support, it was cold on Wednesday, but we still saw fans there, and there were a lot of young kids there supporting the game. And then the Birmingham match was electric. First home game was great. I would say the changes that we made this offseason, we really wanted to like shore up our defensive end. We had a lot of good attacking play last year. Just felt like we conceded a lot of goals. So we recruited some players that we thought would help on that end. We didn't exclude the attacking players. We did bring in some good attacking talent as well. I just think overall, this is probably the best individual group of individuals we've had in Tulsa so far. And it'll be up to myself and the club to kind of mold them into the best team that Tulsa's had so far. After two playoff back-to-back, like you mentioned, the only way to do that and to prove that we're better is to go one step beyond that first round in the playoffs and to make a push beyond that. We have the talent to do so. And I think what people have seen probably early is a team that's grinding out results. As a coach, I recognize that this team is full of talent and potential. I wouldn't take this group and exchange them with any other team in the league. You know, I'm really happy with the players that I have and how they work every day and their attitude. And when we get it together, it's going to be exciting stuff for our fans and frightening for opponents.
Well, I'm excited for it. I try to catch every game, whether it's in person or on TV. So I want to thank you for your time. This is head coach of FC Tulsa, Tulsa's own, Greenwood's own, Mike Ensign. Thank you so much for your time. Proud to know you, proud to call you a friend, and proud that you're here in Tulsa.
Hey, trust me, that's mutual. I mean, to see what you're doing and what you continue to accomplish is historical as well. So, and it's inspiring for me as a coach and a Tulsan and African-American as well. It's good to have people around you that are uplifting and that are achieving a lot. You know, Mom always told me to have friends better than myself. So I appreciate you for that. And thank you for having me on.
Let me know your thoughts about this episode. I'm easy to reach on Twitter at Jabron Pasha, on Instagram at What Medicine Did, and on UnlockingImplicitBias.com. Thanks for leaning in with me.